Okay, welcome to our February Performance Project call. Welcome, welcome, you guys. I'm so happy to have so many of you here. I'm always thrilled that quite the numbers of you actually show up live on these calls that do, because it really reflects a level of engagement and commitment that really is going to make you as successful as you can be in this program and get the most out of it. So thank you for making this a priority and for being here tonight. I want to start with some housekeeping items. If you are having any trouble with the recordings or accessing the portal, which I don't think anybody is, which is just a miracle, we haven't had very many issues at all, but if you are for some reason having trouble accessing the materials, please send an email to support@jenniferheron.com. If you're not receiving weekly emails on Mondays, please check your junk mail. Check your security settings on your email to make sure that they are set to accept emails from me, and then email my team if you're not getting those emails, because those emails are just kind of additional bonus material for the program, and it's I will sometimes use them for communication, but the information is usually doubled up on both the Facebook page and via the email. All right, if you want to change your Facebook notifications, you can go to the menu in the upper right-hand side when you're in the Facebook group homepage and go to notification settings, and then you can change, the rate at which you are notified when people post them in the Facebook group. Please use the Facebook group, participate as much as you want, use it for accountability, use it to give support, to get support from the group, use it to ask questions and get coaching from me. But do not use it to judge yourself. You can use the Facebook group or you cannot use it at all. It's completely up to you. You have the ability to fully get full value from this program without using the Facebook group at all. But just please don't use it to judge yourself or judge others. And with part of, what I try to create in this program is really a safe space, both on the coaching calls and in the Facebook group, so that people feel safe to share. So I will be reminding you periodically throughout the program to, you're welcome to share anything that I say, but try to keep one another's confidences. So, as you're sharing things in the Facebook group, we can kind of agree that we have sort of a code of silence around all the things we share. Though I would encourage you to feel free to share the concepts, the ideas, and the things you're getting out of the program, the things we're doing, but just don't share each other's specific stories. All right, I want to start out by answering some questions. The first question is from Anita, and it's a great question that sort of forms the foundation for this whole program, and that is, what are the distinguishing characteristics between fear and anxiety? It seems they produce the same emotions and thoughts. So the difference between fear and anxiety, basically, the definition of fear is that it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, that it's likely to cause you pain or cause a threat of some kind. But the reality is that fear is really an umbrella term for any emotion that leads you to avoid something. So fear actually shows up in lots of different ways in your life. It can show up as procrastination, as perfectionism, as defensiveness, as confusion, an inability to make decisions, a reluctance to have difficult conversations. It can show up as people-pleasing, avoidance of conflict, or displeasing others. It can show up as self-sabotaging behaviors, and, of course, it can show up as anxiety. And anxiety is really it's a feeling of worry or nervousness or unease about something imminent that might or might not happen, that something that has an uncertain outcome. And so anxiety is basically just another type of fear. I have my own definition of anxiety that I have come to really believe is a very powerful way to look at anxiety, and that is that it is a lack of self-trust. It's a lack of self-trust. When we're afraid of something happening or not happening, we're not actually afraid of that thing. We are afraid of how we're going to feel when that thing happens or doesn't happen. And if we get really good at processing emotion and we know that we're going to be okay no matter what happens, we're going to be able to handle it, then that anxiety, that fear will either go away or it will decrease considerably. And what happens is that anxiety can become chemical. It becomes a really powerful habit, a really powerful way of being, that it actually can change your hormones and your chemistry within your body. So it can be helpful to treat anxiety chemically with medication. But in my experience, we have a lot of power around shifting our habits that cause anxiety and actually alleviating a lot of anxiety in our lives. So you can have fear and not have anxiety, because fear can come in a wave and it can go, but you cannot have anxiety without having fear, because anxiety is fear. So anxiety is kind of lasts longer, kind of more chronic anxiety or chronic fear about the unknown. So fear ends up, it can end up, if you allow it, fear or anxiety can end up limiting your life. It can end up putting you in a box, because it is that emotion that causes you to avoid anything that your lizard brain, your primal brain, experiences that may be scary or a risky or put you in an unsafe situation. You can, however, use fear as fuel. And that's what we're all about in this program, is how do you shift out of fear, out of anxiety, into a state of mind or a state of an emotional state that's going to allow you to do all the things in your life that you want, or allow you to fully experience being present in your life. So this is such a great question that sort of forms the foundation for a lot of the things we're going to talk about tonight, and of course a lot of the things that are going to keep coming up for us throughout the program. All right, so the second question I want to answer is from Melissa. How do you stay motivated to stay on track? And this is such a great question, especially in light of the fact that a lot of you have just completed or are in the middle of your strategic plans and setting your goals. And so I'm just going to go through a list of some tips I have for staying motivated. So having a clear vision and a goal and an intention, that's a powerful motivator. So if you're unclear about what your vision is, what your goal is, what your intention is, that can lead to feeling a lack of motivation and not really keeping your commitment to yourself. Okay, so number one, have a clear vision, a goal, or intention. Make sure your strategies have a larger meaning. Many New Year's resolutions are not backed up by a powerful goal, and so therefore most of them fail. So whatever it is you're trying to do in your daily life that you want to stay committed to, you've got to have a really powerful, be powerfully present to what that represents and why it's meaningful for you. Because your primal brain wants to avoid pain and go for pleasure. So most of the things that that kind of give us immediate gratification are not the things that are going to get us to where we want to go in the long run. And the things that get us where we want to go in the long run often are associated with some sort of challenge or hurdle. And our brain may perceive that as being painful, even if it's not. So an example of that might be, riding to get your horse fit for a competition. So let's say your goal is to get your horse fit for a competition that's going to require you to ride regularly, and you're finding yourself really struggling to stay motivated to ride regularly. You want to really identify what it is that you're, wanting to avoid and why you're wanting to avoid it. So what are you afraid of? And it ultimately might be, you're not really afraid of getting wet in the rain and going out and riding in the rain, or be afraid of being cold, but you might be really afraid of putting yourself out there, taking a risk, getting bucked off at your horse's first show, or whatever it is. And by identifying what it is that you're actually afraid of, pulling it apart, looking at it, taking it out, examining it, that will help you be able then to identify what the payoff is going to be for accomplishing that goal, and kind of weigh it against what that cost is going to be. So is your desire to achieve your goal of competing and develop that partnership with your horse and, go out and show with your friends, is that a more powerful payoff than staying safe at home and not reaching that goal? So this is where you get to really have these conversations with yourself and figure out what is it that's really stopping you from staying motivated. Okay, so get your prefrontal cortex in charge. Your prefrontal cortex is a part of your brain that's in charge of planning and decision making. Okay, and your lizard brain is the more primal part of your brain that's in charge of survival instincts, including fear. So it quite often when you are having trouble staying motivated or following through on your commitments, it's because you're allowing your lizard brain to stay in charge. So this is where you want to get super, super clear about what you want, why you want it, what the payoffs are going to be. All right. So let's see. What else? Staying motivated. You know, have a practice around a lot. Listen to the call from last week. Have a practice around shifting into a proactive emotional state from unconstructive emotional state. So all these fear to power exercises that we are going to keep talking about throughout this program are really, really important, not just in the saddle, but also when you're really working to stay motivated around an important goal. Also make sure you have some downtime. I have a client who came to me, a really dynamic, successful, passionate trainer, and she came to me and she said, you know, I'm just having trouble staying motivated. I'm watching all of these. I'm watching all the Michael Phelps videos. I'm watching, you know, all these motivational videos. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm reading, you know, all the right books, and I still can't stay motivated. And what was it was really interesting what came out of that conversation, because ultimately what we came around to was that she was really depleted. She was exhausted from all the striving. And that she had needs that were not getting met, and that her reservoir was pretty much, she was running on empty. And so we started to talk about, instead of thinking that she needed to be more pumped up and more motivated and work harder, what really came about is that she realized that what she needed was to recharge her batteries, that she needed to figure out how to fill that reservoir and to generate more energy, you know, more psychic energy within herself. And so in talking about all the possibilities for that, what she decided was really spending time with her family and cooking for them was the thing that was going to give her that energy and make her kind of recharge her batteries. And she had a really, really powerful experience with this, because several weeks and then again several months later, this was one of the most important routines that she had developed. It improved her relationships with her two sons. It gave her a sense of sort of meaning. It really kind of gave her the creative outlet that she needed. And so then she found herself feeling more motivated, having more energy, being able to follow through on her other commitments to herself. So her perception of what she needed to stay motivated was very different from what the reality turned out to be. So that is one of my tips for staying motivated, is to really look at what you need in terms of downtime, or to stay, what is it you need in your life to keep you feeling like your reservoir is full? How do you feed your soul in order to have enough energy to stay motivated and keep quote unquote striving? Okay, one more thing, stay focused. Stay focused on one thing at a time. When we have too many things and try to put our focus in too many different areas, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. That leads to anxiety, and that usually leads to paralysis of some kind. So really focus on one thing at a time, one foot in front of the other when you're feeling like you need to stay more motivated. Okay, this question is from Micah. Such a great question. Do you have any tips for how to remove the emotional ups and downs that come with managing people and horses? And my first response is no, because that is, you know, this is kind of life, right? But the truth is that, yes, there are lots of really effective ways to get better at managing your emotions and managing those ups and downs. So you can't fully remove the emotional ups and downs, but you can manage them better. So one of my first tips for that is to accept that they're a part of life. Manage your expectations, because if you expect things to be smooth and they're not, this creates resistance and it makes managing the bumps feel hard. Okay. Number two is identify your unintentional cycle and your intentional cycle. So notice what are the thoughts you're having about the situations that are occurring in your life, and really look at what are the beliefs that sort of fuel those thoughts, and work on changing those so that you can actually change your experience, change your emotions about the situation, and then you'll be able to act differently. You'll be able to behave in a different way. And what happens over time is that eventually you're able to mitigate that sort of the deep emotional roller coaster that you tend to go on when you're dealing with lots of different people and their emotions and handling lots of situations that come up that maybe aren't ideal. So really keep thinking, you know, this keeps going, we're going to keep going back to this fear to power process, because that is just as important when you're dealing with difficult situations with people and horses as it is when you're managing fear in the saddle. Number three is have a process, a habit or a routine for handling things. So notice kind of the situations that come up. I have a conversation today with a vet who's, again, super passionate, really, really takes seriously her job. And she's finding that every time one of her clients would want to go for a second opinion, she was feeling like taking that personally and feeling like she wasn't doing a good job and letting that take her emotional state down. And then she wasn't having the conversations that she wanted to have with those clients and kind of following up and participating in the way she wanted. So what she decided was that her process was going to be every time that happened, when a client wants to go for a second opinion, she says to that client, "That's a great idea. I want to be a part of this. I want to continue to be a part of your team. Please, you know, let the vet know that I would like to stay in the loop and keep me in the loop so that I can continue to support you and your horse." And it was such a relief to her when she decided, okay, that is just how I'm going to handle it. No matter how I feel, that's how I'm going to handle it. Because once she would have that conversation, that would keep her connected and keep her feeling like she's being proactive and staying involved and supporting her client rather than letting her emotions about it kind of cause her to back off or shut down. Okay, so that's just an example of, you know, kind of looking at these different situations that tend to come up and deciding on how ahead of time how you want to handle them despite how you might be feeling in the moment, because how you handle them can completely change your experience of the situation. Have clarity about what's most important to you. So when you feel really down in the weeds and are getting really icky with a situation that's occurred and the thoughts are going over and over the situation, zoom out to your vision and your goals and get reoriented around what's most important to you. Let that dictate how you want to act or how you want to handle the situation instead of letting your immediate emotions dictate how you want to act. And the final tip I have for this is if the problems are pervasive, you know, you kind of keep having similar patterns happen or similar things happen across with different horses and different people, ask yourself, you know, what about your communication or your systems or your processes are contributing to this? What are you avoiding or leaving out that you could do in general, add into the way you communicate or to your processes in your business, that would help alleviate and prevent some of the things that are happening? So again, that's kind of a zoom out process that can help overall, you know, if you take every opportunity, everything that happens is an opportunity to prevent similar things from happening in the future, you're going to over time make your life easier and easier. All right. We are going to now move on to coaching.